Take your Bible, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Book of Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verses 6 through 11 this morning in Genesis chapter 3. As you're finding your place in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together this morning. Genesis chapter 3. Beginning at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the passage that we just read. So many truths that can help us this morning, but we won't hear a one if our hearts are not prepared and ready to receive. So, Father, prepare our hearts. Get us ready for what the pastor will come and preach this morning. Use him to help us today, the first Sunday of 2016. Father, I also ask if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray they would accept him and trust him this morning before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, it's very important that you sit real still and listen carefully. For a few moments, we are, of course, with Lord's Supper, we're always a bit later on Sunday mornings than we would normally be. I looked at my watch and I realized I have 4 minutes to finish by noon. And so my goal is to finish by noon someday. Now, God asked a question here. You ever realize that when God asks a question, he already knows the answer? You ever think about that? You've done that as a parent before, haven't you? Ask one of your children something, did you do so-and-so? And you already know that they did it. When I was a kid, my brother and I were little boys, and we were in the bathtub taking a bath, and we looked over on the edge of the bathtub, and there was a shaving razor. The old kind, remember, you turn it at the bottom, and it opens up, and you put a double-blade razor in there, close it, and that's how you adjusted it for shaving. We're sitting there taking a bath. I looked, I said, what is that? And my brother said, well, Mom uses that to shave her legs. Now, how he knew that, I have absolutely no idea, and I didn't want to go into that. I said, really, how does it work? And he goes, watch. And he took the razor, and he began to shave his legs with it, little peach fuzz. I go, oh. And he goes, and if you turn this, it'll shave it even closer. So then he did a few times, I did a few times. Then no one told us that there's one direction for those razors to be effective, and the other direction is surgery. And the next thing we know, I remember turning it a little bit in the corner, kind of dug into my leg and got a little hide, and I went that way with it, and then it started to bleed. And of course, our mom was in the other room, and she heard us in there, and when boys are in the bathtub, you can hear them talking, laughing, cutting up. We were dead quiet. That's a bad sign. She walked in and opened the door, and we're sitting there, and the water was pink. And there was this razor sitting on the edge of the tub with peach fuzz and flesh in it. And she looked at us, and she said, have you been shaving your legs with my razor? Two little boys sitting there with blood coming off of their legs. And we looked at her and said, no. She already knew the answer. Okay, Adam and Eve have taken of the forbidden fruit. God comes to them in Genesis chapter 3, and it says, as we read it there just a moment ago, look at verse number 9. He said, Adam, where art thou? Adam and Eve had run and hid from God, and they'd sowed fig leaves, and they were hiding in the trees in the garden. And God comes to Adam and says, where are you? Calls out to Adam, 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 where are you, Adam? Now, again, the question is, doesn't God know where they are? There are two people on the earth. You say, well, that's because there were just two people. Listen here. God knows where you are today. And there are 7.2 billion people on this planet. And he knows where each and every person is. The Bible says he numbers the hair on our head of each and every person. He notes when the sparrows fall of each and every of the billions of birds on this planet. So it doesn't make a difference whether there's two people or 7.2 billion people. God knows where people are. That's not the issue. And he's not asking the question because he doesn't know where Adam is. He's asking the question because he wants Adam to answer the question. Where are you, Adam? Adam, where art thou? Adam steps out and says, well, sir, we're hiding in the trees because we found that we discovered now we were without clothes. Now, remember, as I told my class this morning, I used some of the same text today, but they were without clothes because it was a husband and a wife and there was nobody else on the planet. That's the only time that's ever been allowed, and it's not allowed since then. So please keep your clothes on. Okay, here we go. So the point is, he said, Adam, but Adam knew something wasn't right now. Something was different. God is asking the question because God wants Adam to answer the question. Where are you, Adam? I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, at the start of 2016, God would ask the same question of us. And not because, look here, not because he cannot and doesn't know the answer, it's because he wants you to answer the question. Kind of like James 4:14, where the Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. God wants you to consider what your life is. Well, this new year, ladies and gentlemen, we're starting a new year now. We're just 3 days into 2016. Can't too much have happened yet. But if God was to ask you the question, by the way, the answer is not just a singular answer. The answer is this. Adam, where are you? And Adam, God wants Adam to check his closeness to the Lord. Because Adam's hiding in the trees, covered in fig leaves. And he's saying, Adam, where are you in your closeness to God? Good question to answer this morning. Where are you in your fellowship and relationship with the Lord this morning? Where are you today? Now listen very carefully this morning. That is the most critical question for us to answer. Anytime in our lives, but especially now. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't run into a brand new year and leave God out of it. Go on with a relationship with God that you don't know, understand, realize. Say, well, that's hard to figure out, Pastor Johnson. No, it's not hard to figure out. You listen to this preacher this morning. God was seeking them out. When he asked the question, he knew they were in the trees. He knew they took of the fruit. He knew everything about it. He wanted them to stop and say, wait a minute. What I have done is put me away from God. I'm now, the voice of the Lord God used to come and walk with them in the garden every day, and now they're hiding in trees from God. He wants them to step back and say, wait a minute, look what's happened here. I'm not as close to God as I ought to be. And he wants you to answer the question, he wants you to answer it so you can realize that if something's not right, your God wants to have fellowship with you. Sin comes in Genesis chapter 3. By the way, it's not Adam and Eve's fault. Sin came into this world. We all made our own contributions. Yes? Okay, thank the two honest people who are left in this room. I said we all made our contributions. That's right. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, because sin has come, things have changed. Something's happened here. And now they're away from him, and he wants them to realize that. Why? Because God came to come to them, to let them know that that something's changed so they can get it right and come back to him. That's what salvation is. Salvation is God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to pay for our sin. We just celebrated the Christmas season. Emmanuel, God with us, Christ coming, God in human flesh, to go to the cross, to pay for our sins. Why? To take down the barrier of sin and difference between us and our God so we can come to Him. But you have to come to God through Christ. You don't come to God on your terms. You come to God on His terms. You don't bring your fig leaves of religion. You come to God and realize my sin has separated me from God, but God is willing. And oh, my friend, God wants you close to Him today. You say, well, I've settled that matter. I know Christ is my Savior. Wonderful. Can I ask you the question, then, where are you today in your fellowship with God? If your relationship is right, how's your fellowship with the Lord? Is it good? Is it fellowship? Remember, two sides to fellowship, His side, your side. Are you content with yours, but you know He's not with His? Then you need to fix that, you see. Where art thou, Adam, in your closeness to the Lord? Please don't charge off into 2016 and hope to catch up with God somewhere. We often make the statement, we would run to God a lot less if we walked with God a lot more. We put Him off in a corner in our lives, and we go about our lives and our day and what we do and how we live. We do our own thing. And then when we want something from God, hear God. And then when we get what we want, go on, God, get back in the corner now. And we shove Him away from us, and we wonder why there's something. Listen, friend, He's there to walk with us every day, still in the cool of the day. His voice is there with us. His word is with us. God wants us to be close to Him. If something's not right between you and God, please, whatever that is, you need to get that out of your life, get it out of the way, and return to God today. I'm sorry that somebody's disappointed you. I'm sorry some religion has failed you. I'm sorry some Christian let you down. I'm sorry that you feel that God has failed you. And I emphasize you feel that way because God doesn't do that. But I'm sorry that you felt something's come between you and Him. But it's your job to move it, not His. And He is willing and ready and able. Adam, where are you, Adam? He knows what tree he's behind. He knows exactly where he is. He knows exactly what he's doing. He wants Adam to step up and say, I've done something, Lord. Where are you today in this matter of the voice of the Lord God? It says in verse number 8 of Genesis 3, the voice of the Lord God came to walk in the garden in the cool of the day. Voices don't walk, people. This is an Old Testament. We mentioned in my class today. It's an Old Testament. It's called a theophany. It's an Old Testament appearance of Christ. Jesus came to walk with them as He had done every day since they were created. And now something's come between them and the voice of the Lord, which for us today is this. This is how God talks to us today, right here. See this? This is His Word. We call it the Word of God. So what we have this morning in our hands is the voice of the Lord God who still comes to meet with us. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing with your Bible today? Not do you own one. We're the most Bible poor family in a nation in the world. And by poor, I don't mean don't have any. I mean we have lots of them. Got them on our shelves. Got them on the coffee table. Got them all over the place. I'm not asking do you own one. I'm not asking do you hold one. I'm asking you, where are you in this thing with the Bible yourself? I was speaking with someone the other day, and they thought they were being very wise and saying, you know, I just have problems with things in the Bible. I have this problem. I have that problem with things in the Bible. And I stopped them and I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read it cover to cover one time? And they stopped and they said, I said, have you ever read it cover to cover one time in your life? And they stopped and looked at me and they said, no. I said, well, then don't criticize a book you've never read. It's a little difficult today. You know, we got all these so-called people who know better than God's Word have never read it cover to cover, just one time in their life, just once. And believe me, you read it once, you'll want to read it again. Oh, yeah. There's more to it the second time around and the third time around and the fourth time around. And however many times you've read the Bible, you still get something out of it. I was reading again. I started my new year with my Bible reading schedule and things for the day and this new year. And I was reading in Genesis again and seeing some things, nothing brand new, but seeing some things that helped me at that moment in my life. My friend, God is saying, where are you in relation to my voice? Are you listening to the voice of God? Oh, we've got so many voices today. We've got so many things speaking to people today. out of the television, out of the media, out of the internet, out of all these things, people drawing on all these voices. No wonder people are so confused. The voice of God is buried beneath all the banter and the babble of mankind, expressing his opinion and talking about what he believes and what he says and everything. You know, it seems there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm not checking polls, I'm not checking surveys, and I'm not looking for man's opinion on what I need to know for my life. I want what it says. I want what God tells me. You need to have that kind of relationship with the Word of God in your life where it becomes a regular daily part of your year. It's a brand new year, 3 to 4 chapters of the Bible a day, and you read your Bible through every year. 3 to 4 chapters of the Bible takes the average reader about 10 minutes. Now you think about that for a moment. The average person is watching an hour of commercials every day in the average amount of television. Hour of commercials. Selling you stuff you don't need. Stuff you shouldn't even want half of it. And we can't get 10 minutes to open our Bible and just sit down and read it some. And get it into our hearts and into our minds. I don't understand everything I read. I don't either. There's still things in the Bible I read I don't understand. There's things I'm still trying to grasp and comprehend and to get it. I teach a class at the Bible College down in Santa Clara, and one of the classes I teach these young men, they're seniors about to graduate and go out into the ministry, and I challenge them. It's not a teacher to the student class. It's a teacher telling the students, here's a question, answer this question biblically. To see where they're at as they get ready to finish Bible College. Can they answer questions biblically in their life? And one of them I always ask him is Luke 16 in the parable, the unjust steward. I still don't understand the parable because it sounds like Jesus was teaching you're supposed to go to the enemy and the world to get what you need. I know he isn't saying that, but I don't understand it. So I can't grasp it. So there's things in the Bible I don't get, okay? I don't understand that. But there's things in life I don't understand. I don't understand how a black and white cow can eat green grass that makes white milk and turns into yellow butter. I don't understand that one either. I don't understand braille dots on drive-up ATMs. I don't understand that one. What's a blind dude doing driving a car, for goodness sakes? There's a lot of things I just don't get. There are things that just don't make sense to me. Expiration dates on sour cream. What's it going to do? Go sour? Okay? There are just things I don't grasp. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? There's something about the voice of God in my life that helps me on a daily basis. Where are you in this? When he asked Adam, where art thou, Adam? He's asking Adam, where are you with your responsibilities? Listen now, listen. You know how this account goes in Scripture. Eve takes the fruit. Eve takes of the fruit. Eve bites the fruit. Eve hands it to Adam. Adam eats the fruit, and God gets all over Adam for it. See, what? No, Eve took the fruit. No. It was Adam's responsibility. It says in verse 6, and she gave to her husband, to Adam, with her. He stood there and watched the whole thing of the serpent and the temptation and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, if he got a stick and beat that snake to death, we'd still be in the Garden of Eden. Adam didn't do his job. He didn't take care of his responsibilities. And God is about being responsible with what he's given you. Where are you in that now? Well, I just kind of live my life for myself and do what I want. Thank you. We got a whole world of people like that today who just live for themselves, just do what they want. They get theirs, they get their own, they live their life, they do what they want, they live to satisfy themselves. Excuse me, that's not responsibility. God has given every one of us the responsibility of the care of others in our life. How are you doing with that? See, I'm always amazed myself personally. I'm amazed to be driving to the office in the morning, and here goes a woman past me, curling her hair, putting on her makeup, rolling up her eyelashes. I don't know how in the world they do that. Putting herself together, driving the car down the road, and she's using both hands. And I'm thinking, have they got one of those cars now that drives itself? Nope, she's doing the deal with the knees while she is still talking on the phone. Curling her hair, putting on her makeup. And you know what I think? I say, well, first of all, get away from me, woman. But anyway, secondly, my thought is this. Here's somebody going to work. Bless their heart, they had to just charge into their day and run out the door, not quite ready to face the world or for the world to face them. And they're going down the highway. And I think to myself, that's a blessing. I go by and see somebody digging ditches. That's a blessing. You know why? They're taking care of their responsibilities. Wednesday nights here in our church, many times our folks come to church right from work. Don't you ever hesitate to come to church from work. You understand that? Well, my shoes are not clean, my pants are not. I don't care. You come to church. And when they come to church like that, that blesses me. Because I say, here's somebody who just got right off of work, came right in. Brother, I'll tell you something. You know what that is? That is somebody who is responsible. God wants to know, are you fulfilling your responsibilities? And that's not just make yourself happy and do what you want. It means taking care of your family, taking care of your church, taking care of your work, doing something in this community that makes a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. Adam, you didn't do your job, Adam. Adam, where are you, Adam? You didn't do your job, Adam. He's also asking him that question because he wants to know. He wants Adam to stop and consider. Look here. Every morning, Adam, Eve, Jesus, garden, cool of the day, eternally. You know, God created us in a human body like this that would have lasted forever. And now they're hiding in the trees and hiding from the presence of God. Can you ask you a dumb question this morning? How do you hide from God's presence? Where do you go? Jonah tried that. Flee to the other side of the world from the presence of the Lord. God's over there too, you know. What's he asking him here? He's asking him, how are you doing with the changes you've made, Adam? You've changed things. Are you okay with that now? Is it all good? Can I ask you a question this morning? People look at me. You know, God gives us a free moral agency to be able to make decisions and choices on our own. But then after a while, don't you ever take stock of, okay, here's what I decided. How's it working? When the disciples, John chapter 21, they quit Jesus and went in the fishing business. After Christ's resurrection, after he'd risen from the dead, they quit him and they go on back to the fishing business and they take some other disciples with them and they're out there fishing and not drowning worms fishing, recreational fishing. They're out there fishing for a living. They quit on the Lord and he's on the shore. Children, have you any meat? How's the fishing? You caught anything? They said, nothing. Oh, time to look at the nets, figure out what happened here. Have you examined some of the changes you've made in your life? You know, God's amazing. He's merciful. He's gracious. He'll let you make changes in your life. But can I ask you a question? How's it going with the changes? You getting out of it what you thought you would? Is it going the direction you thought it ought to go? Those changes that you brought about in life because of the choices that you made and decisions you made in your life, how is that going? I had someone tell me here a while back, I don't need church, I don't need the Bible, I don't need any of that kind of stuff. I'm going to do it the way that I want. And I said, and you look so happy. You look so pleasant. You look like life is just really coming down your street, pal. You got to be kidding me. Sit there and told me how miserable they were and how miserable their life was. They said, but I don't see all the Bible in the church to make a difference. I go, well, based on the way you look, you ought to give it a shot because that doesn't look like that's working for you either. Excuse me. Sarcasm is a way of life for me, all right? Forgive me. But the truth is, how about it? Adam, you're in the trees with fig leaves, son. Change is going good for you. And the last thing he asked Adam the question for was this. Now listen, I finished. He asked him, where are you, Adam? Then he asked him another question. Did you eat of the fruit of the tree I told you not to eat of? Does God know the answer to that question? Yes. And then what happens? Adam steps up and says, I did it and I was wrong and I'm sorry. Nope. Adam had no life in politics. Nope. Couldn't admit a mistake. When Adam does finally say he ate of the fruit, he says it after he blames Eve. The woman you gave me, she gave me of the fruit thereof and I did eat. But he blames himself after he blames somebody else. So God goes to Eve and says, did you eat of the fruit? And she said, well, the serpent beguiled me, and it's his fault. And God just cussed that snake and cursed him, didn't cuss him, bad language. He cursed the snake, then Eve, then Adam. All God was looking for was a little honesty, that's all. Well, it's an election here. Wouldn't honesty be nice? Just a fresh dose of honesty. First of all, nobody running for office in this country is ever going to get elected being honest. You tell people the truth. They do not want to hear the truth of what we got to do to fix this country. They do not want to hear that. Most people in this country want to hear, what are you going to give me? That chicken in the pot thing from the Depression still floating around pretty strong. What are you going to give me? My name is Jimmy, what you going to give me? But aside and separate of all that kind of stuff, how about if God asks you, how is it in your heart and in your life? Would you be honest with him? When I try to help people and they come to me, I always tell them, I said, look, the most awful, ugly, horrible truth is better than the most beautiful lie. Just tell me the truth. I can help you if you tell me the truth. If you lie to me, there's not much I can do for you. So just tell me the truth. I'll help you no matter what you tell me. I will help you. I've had people tell me that, ladies and gentlemen, and I had to pick up the phone and call the police and have them arrested. I've had them tell me the honesty of what they have done, and they wound up in the worst situations on the planet until they got it straightened out and God fixed it. Oh, but then there's that other crew. They'll look at you, and with the most sincere look on their face, they'll just lie to you. And what happens? The trouble just keeps rolling. And then from one lie, what do? You go to another one. To cover that lie, you have to tell another one. And you tell that lie. And before too long, your life is one big lie. It's time to step back and just be honest with God. Things are not right with me and you, Lord. Good. That's a good step. That's an honest step. God can help us there. Honesty is a great thing. Honesty is still the best policy. It still works with God. He just wants Adam to say, I took of the fruit and I ate. Never mind what she did. Never mind the snake. I took of the fruit and I ate it. There it is. It's what I did. Our grandkids were here a while back, and one of them punched the other one. And, of course, they were holding their head and crying like they'd had brain surgery. What happened? She hit me. I went over and I said, "What? Did you hit your brother?" "Yep." "Why?" "I wanted to." It's one of those grandparent things where you kind of keep from laughing. You know, you sort of cover your mouth. You got no hope in politics. Okay, go to your room. You're in trouble now, but thank you for being honest. I wanted to. That was better than they took my Tyrannosaurus Rex or, you know, they got my socks or whatever. I just wanted to, so I hit them. God who is in heaven must be saying, would somebody just tell me the truth? Just be honest about something. Because from honesty comes humility, comes repair, and hope. God deals with Adam and Eve, and they fix it. But it's sad to think the God of heaven had to come and say, Adam, where are you, son? Where are you? It's 2016. He's asking the same questions of us this morning. Let's answer them honestly, shall we? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.